Well, good morning, Doc. Glad to have you back on the show this morning as we continue our discussion on the life of Lot. We have been talking now for some weeks about the value of our life and what is our life, and going off of that passage in James 4 that our life is a vapor and it appears and vanishes away. Last time we were together, you were talking to us really about Lot's chance, and I've been reflecting on that, just the incredible opportunities that this man had, and yet he blew his chance. And I know that many of our listeners out there, including myself, are looking at the goodness of God in our life and looking at the opportunities that God has given us, and we don't want to be like Lot. And yet there was a path that Lot took, and that path led down to what you're going to talk about today, the concept of conflict. And so I wonder if you could maybe elaborate a little bit on how that undid Lot.
We were talking about how did Lot end up in this fix that we started with, in a cave with his two daughters pregnant. We pointed out in the last broadcast the chance that he had. Now we look at the conflict, and we see the conflict, first of all, was a result of God's blessing. They had plenty. They had so much they could no longer have enough room for them. And we see in verse 7 of Genesis 13, and there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And Abraham appeals in verse 8, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. So then we think, well, maybe it was the conflict. Maybe Lot got in a conflict, and maybe it was the conflict that turned him the wrong direction.
You know, a lot of us do think that, don't we? I mean, I can think of my own life, that the things that are going on in my life oftentimes are the result of somebody else's fault.
Conflicts don't make us what we are. They reveal what we are. That's a concept. Same thing with circumstances. And God normally brings people into our life to prove, show to us that we're lacking love. Conflicts are not negative things unless we let them become carnal. You cannot go through life without having conflicts along the line, because decisions are constantly made. People always have to be in relationships with someone else. That's why relationships are so important.
Can you tell us a little more about the conflict between Abram and Lot here? It just seems that this would have been a natural thing that would have happened when both of these men are wealthy and, like you said, they have plenty and there's limited resources. Maybe you could tell us a little more about that conflict. And where I'm going with that question is, how does that show up in our lives? I mean, how does that relate? I mean, if I don't have a lot of sheep, I don't have herdsmen, but I have conflict. And so what kind of conflicts, you know, show up pattern after this one here?
Well, it could be anything. It's always dealing with people to people, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. Abraham said, between me and thee.
But you'll also learn in that the key to the solution of a conflict is in the pocket of the one first willing to humble himself. And when we see the big picture here, that is, you cannot go through life without conflicts, but you can go through life without bitterness and anger. Hmm. And how you respond to a conflict that comes up is whether you'll end up with God's mind or your own mind in the matter. In this particular thing, it was a result of God's blessing. They had plenty, but it was also a revealer of character. And Abraham's character was revealed. Abraham humbled himself and went to Lot and said, we don't want conflict and strife. You take whatever you want, and I will take what's left. Keep in mind, though, Abraham was the one who made what Lot had possible. He was the one who went ahead and made all the arrangements for Lot to have what he had. Even in that culture, Lot should have been the one to have humbled himself and said, well, Uncle Abraham, you know, you're older. You allowed me to have what I have. Why don't you take what you want and let me take what's left? But that didn't happen. So here was Abraham humbling himself in that. And that's true. You have conflicts within family. Husband-wife conflict. The key to that is who is first willing to humble himself and say, okay, I was wrong.
And that's so hard when I think I'm right.
And you know what? In many cases, the person who has to humble himself is the person who is right but has allowed himself to become strained by this conflict. And they say, I am so right, I refuse to communicate with the person who is wrong. And it really causes a lot of damage.
You know, you made an interesting comment a minute ago when you were talking about the reasons for this conflict or how this conflict arose. And one of the things you said was that this came about as a result of God's blessing. Some of our listeners, myself included, would say, but I would think that God's blessing would not lead me into conflicts.
Well, it was the plenty. In other words, God granted them to have this stuff, as we call it,
mm-hmm.
and all of the things that they had in life. So they were not hurting. And they would both have to acknowledge God gave this to us by His grace.
Right.
This is a God
right.
provision.
I was thinking, you know, in my own life, you know, I wish I could say that we've never had conflicts in our marriage. But I would say that one of God's greatest blessings to me was my wife. And yet in the midst of that blessing has come the potential for conflict. You know, think about the ministry that God has given you at Northern Baptist Bible College, or the ministry that God has given to different of our listeners in their local church. What a wonderful blessing of God to be able to be in a good local church somewhere or to have a spiritual ministry. But that blessing of God, by virtue of what it brings, brings the potential of conflict.
The sad thing, Dr. Horn, is that you see Satan's target is relationships. See, Satan is not going to target the mission statement of a church because that's too obvious. So a mission happens based on relationships. Relationships are built on trust. Trust brings mutual appreciation, mutual respect. So if there's a loss of mutual appreciation because there's a loss of mutual respect, it's traced back to mistrust. I don't trust that person anymore. And what it does is it breaks the relationship and mission is hindered. How much could be done if God's people would be willing to humble themselves and say, I was wrong, will you forgive me? And again, the key to that solution, and you look at our churches today, they're a result of God's blessing. And yet we find people in bitter conflict who wouldn't talk to each other if they saw each other on the street. Or if they did, it would be in a hypocritical fashion, but not a transparent fashion. But it just shows what conflict can do. So if Satan is going to hinder something, he is going to target relationships first. And then mission statement is affected, doctrine is affected. People are driven to imbalance in areas because they justify it by reacting to someone else, you know, in another way.
You talked about the idea that not only were these conflicts coming because of result of God's blessing, but they, and I think this is the most important thing I heard and that struck a chord with me, and I think our listeners would agree, that conflict reveals our character. Talk about that a little bit.
Actions don't prove what I am. Reactions do.
Hmm.
Any one of us can have a bad action on any given time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the action that proves my character. And you say, well, how could that be? Take David. If you made a sin list of David, okay, he lied, deceived, murdered, adultery. You say, man, what a loser. Then you go over to Saul. Everything Saul had in his life, I have in my life. Pride, impatience, stepping ahead of things. That is, the average Christian could look at Saul's sin and say, well, if I'm honest, I think I get proud. If I'm honest, I think I get impatient. If I'm honest, I believe I get this way. So if you had a list of side-by-side, who would look like they had the better character? It would be Saul. Now move over one column to the reaction list. The prophet Samuel comes to Saul. And Saul said, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord.
What are all these?
And
animals?
Then all of a sudden, what do I hear? Hmm. Oh, yeah, the sheep. Oh, the people. The people. Oh, and plus, I'm so dedicated. I want to save the best to sacrifice.
That was all pious talk.
It was all pious talk. But his true heart was revealed. Saul was removed.
Hmm.
Now go to the reaction on David's side. Nathan comes up and confronts David. And David instantly, his reaction is what caused him to be restored back to position. It's a great encouragement to anyone. Actions don't prove character, reactions do. Any one of us can have a bad action on any given time with any situation presented to us. But reactions prove when the Holy Spirit convicts, where do I land? That's the true. And by the way, there may be scars for wrong actions. I'm not saying you can do any action you want. There are going to be scars for that, and there will be consequences.
What do you think Lot's reactions showed about him in this passage?
Selfishness. He was out for number one and thinking that, hey, this is what I want. Uncle Abram gave me the option, and maybe his chief shepherds heard this, say, Lot, look. And rather than thinking, no, boys, I mean, remember who made this possible for me.
You know, it's really interesting is that the text in Genesis 13, the writer Moses tells us that at the very end, he says that the men who dwelled in Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the implication is that Lot knew this, and he still chose that. So, I mean, you're saying that his selfishness was so dominant in his life that it overrode him making a spiritual choice. He made a choice to go somewhere that would be beneficial in his mind for his family, but at the end he lost it all.
And you don't know later, as you find out about the condition of his wife, how many trips to the mall his wife made down there in Sodom too. You know, you don't know what influences are there. Again, the only indication to know that Lot was God's child is a New Testament statement. God delivered just Lot.
I can't get over, and some of what you're saying is just making little light bulbs go off in my thinking, but when the angels came to destroy Sodom and they came to Lot's house, Lot reacted there too.
Yes.
And he offered his two daughters. You know, you think
who had
about
never been touched before.
To these men, and then no wonder they turn on their father in the cave and get him inebriated and father children by their own father. I mean, I've often wondered what would make two girls do this. But this is that whole selfish lifestyle. And that's why I think it's so crucial what you're saying here for us and for our hearers, that the Lord would reveal by our reactions what we are. Because Lot could have changed in Genesis 13.
Right.
He could have changed.
And this thing with their dad was no shock to them, because that's what was surrounded them in their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This was very normal lifestyle. I mean, they had seen it over and over and over, no doubt.
How many times have we talked, you and I, to dads who are making choices about where they live and what they do, and they're putting their families in a horrible spiritual environment, but because it's respectable or because of an income level, this is what we want, this is where we're going to go. And
yes,
we often have very spiritual reasons for justifying that, don't
yes
we?
But he had the chance, and there was the conflict, but Abraham gave him the option. And so Abraham did his part to solve that conflict that came in, the strife that was there. The strife was solved, but Lot's problem wasn't.
Hmm. You ended on a tremendous thought here, that Abraham gave Lot the option.
Mm-hmm.
And God so oftentimes gives us the option, which means then we have to make a choice, which will be the topic of our next program. We'll be talking again about Lot and looking at his choice.